From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. According to the World Stroke Organization, 14 million people every year have a stroke, which can cause varying degrees of disability. There can be paralyzed arms and legs, weakness, and movement limitations. It can all be greatly reduce the quality of life after an individual has a stroke. Now, the damage from a stroke differs from person to person, so identifying that damage is crucial to targeting individual therapy that will best help each patient. A group of University of Idaho students have been working on building robots to find out what's wrong and to also help stroke survivors regain the mobility they lost. So joining us today to tell us more are Joel Perry, associate professor in the U of I's Department of Mechanical Engineering, and Chris Biddecofer, who is completing his doctorate in mechanical engineering this summer. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Thanks for having us.
So, Chris, let me start with you. You have been working on these robots for 5 years now. So how did you get started with the project?
I had a friend from my hometown, actually, Aberdeen, Idaho, that was Jeremiah Schroeder, who is a graduate student on a different project up at U of I. But just about the time I was finishing up with my undergrad, I ran into him and he mentioned that I should look into this project because I was talking to him about applying for different graduate programs. And it was a really exciting opportunity because there's not too many projects like this. So it's just a really cool way for me to get to apply some of the skills I had gotten from undergrad and really grow myself a lot as an engineer. So
Chris, the robot you're working on, it's called the Blue Sabino. What is it and how does it work?
So Blue Sabino is a upper limb exoskeleton that is basically connected to your upper arm at several different locations. It feels your interaction forces as you push on it and try and move through four sensors located at each of the connection points. Those force signals that we're measuring allow us to control it in a way to make it the exoskeleton try to be as transparent as possible. That's mostly what I've worked on, is trying to make it very transparent. That goal is to try and make it so the robot can operate in this way that you could kind of move unimpaired, and we can take a bunch of different measurements. So we'll also have people wearing electrodes, EMG, that give us a measurement of the signals in the arm. In your muscles, basically, how you're activating your muscles to move around. And we can also have people wear EEG, basically electrode skull caps that give us a sense of the signals going on in the brain at the same time.
Because, Chris, when we think about the damage a stroke can do, I mean, there are just everyday tasks, like dressing, eating, you know, even bathing, that people can be impacted by. So this Blue Sabino that you're working on is that kind of, the goal is to help these stroke victims be able to do just these daily tasks that, frankly, I think a lot of us take for granted.
Yeah, there's some of that. We're focused a lot on assessing people, so to measure what their impairment is exactly, and give us a sense of what tasks they might be able to perform and what they might not be able to. And also, we can give some assistance level with an exoskeleton. So I talked a little bit about making it transparent with the work I've done. But the other thing you can do is make the robot kind of give somebody some assistance. So somebody who might not be able to lift their arm against the force of gravity and complete a task might be able to do that if the robot gives them, say, 30% assistance or 50, 60, whatever. So that's somebody that, we can kind of go from just assessing them to assisting them in performing some therapy task to gain back some of those activities of daily living that you're talking about.
So, Joel, I want to bring you into the conversation. Tell us what the assistive robotics lab is.
Well, this is a lab that's been here on the Moscow campus for quite some time now. I joined in about 2014, and Professor Eric Wolbrecht had been here since 2007. And our lab that we've kind of rebranded over the last few years here into the Assistive Robotics Lab specifically. We're just focused on basically building things that can help both assess, kind of like what Chris was talking about, assess and better understand what the state of function is of an arm, in order that we can better understand how to provide therapy that can best make it better. That's kind of in a nutshell. We've got a variety of projects that we're working on currently with funding from the NSF, National Science Foundation, and the NIH, National Institutes of Health. We also have some funding from the Dean and Cindy Hagenson Endowed Professorship, so we appreciate all their support. And we've got projects that we'd love to push forward further if we've got students with interest and the financial backing.
Mm-hmm. And Joel, I would assume that these robots have evolved over time. I mean, you've been there for about 8 years. That might not seem like a long time, but you know, electronics and robotics have really come a long way.
Yeah, and it's taken a long time. So yeah, we've been working on this project for some time here, but it's not the beginning of this overall effort. I started on a very similar project during my PhD work when I was at the University of Washington under Jacob Rosen, and he had started on projects before that in Tel Aviv, Israel. So it started with a single 1 degree of freedom robot, and then progressed to a 2 degree of freedom robot. And then when I came on with my PhD, we worked on 7 joints on the arm. And then Dr. Rosen took it to UC Santa Cruz and added a hand onto it. So it became 8 joints. And we kind of took from their work that they'd done to the 8-joint robot and then modified it some more and here at the University of Idaho and did a significant redesign. And Chris has been involved in a lot of the redesign as well. And we've got a few great PhD students, Renee Mara and Sebastian Reitapara, that have really taken on the bulk of the work. But our goal doesn't end with the 8 or 9. We're trying to get all the way up to 15 if we can per arm, because we want to really look at full reach and grasp movements on the whole arm, all the way from the shoulder down to the wrist and the hand. So being able to actually grasp with the fingers.
I mean, that's what's incredible, I think. And Chris, I mean, Joel just saying that, I mean, okay, you're at like, what, 7 joints and a hand. I mean, but 15, that's just so much. I mean, it seems like the human arm is much more complicated of a system than we may think.
I would definitely agree. It's a very complicated system. And I think something incredible is that, like, we're talking 15 degrees of freedom just to get your arm motion. That's not even counting the hand, but that's still simplifying some things in your motion. So you can, like, that's been the overall trend in this field, though, is increasing degrees of freedom to try and maintain really good alignment between the user and the exoskeleton as mm-hmm. they conduct their motion and have robots that can actually kind of match and or at least get closer to the dexterity that we as humans have.
Joel, before we go, I'm curious, what's the most rewarding part of this work for you?
I enjoy a lot of the day in and day out just working with students like Chris and Renee and Sebastian, seeing them progress and come up with new discoveries. They're doing some neat studies right now, just looking at the human body and what information we can gather from it. So watching them progress is really rewarding. I hope the most rewarding part is still yet to come. I think that's always the goal with research. We want to see these things get out of the lab and into whether it's more research facilities, whether it's hospitals, and hopefully some things that trickle out from the research findings that we have that can become more affordable, low cost, new rehab devices that can make a difference out there in the world.
Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in and talking with us about this and letting us know about the research that's going on at the University of Idaho. So much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Joel Perry, Associate Professor at the University of Idaho's Department of Mechanical Engineering, along with Chris Bittecoffer, who is completing his doctorate in mechanical engineering this summer.